Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of the World Cup of Podcasts, the podcast where we choose a category, nominate contestants, and debate each fixture to find out who is the champion of its category. Today, we are dipping back into a familiar well and heading back into filmland. And this week's speciality is our favourite comedy films. So we've put eight of our favourites into a randomised draw, and we'll vote on each fixture, as per usual, to decide what is officially, and this is official, the funniest film ever. As voted by our elite panel, Dan, Aaron, Simon and Ben today. Unfortunately, we haven't got Charlie with us today, so there will be no Charlie's Loft, but I will pose one question to the group. Obviously, throughout lockdown, we've been kind of documenting, even though we record a bit ahead of schedule, so there was a couple of weeks out of date in terms of what's happening at the time, but it's quite good to look back on. So we've been kind of documenting our lockdown experience in a sense, and now that we're kind of right at the back end of it, you know, pubs are back open again, most things, you can get a haircut, all this sort of stuff, most people are going back to work and all that sort of stuff, I want to know where you guys kind of, how you're feeling about going back into it. I know, Dan, you're physically going back into work again for the first time in months. What's it like for you guys as a whole now that it's starting to change again?
It's a little bit weird, isn't it? Like the whole thing is weird. And I had my first job on Sunday where I did the last Premier League game of the season. And we did it remotely from the office, which in itself is completely different to what we normally do.
Oh, I didn't know you did that. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was an absolute mess, to be honest. Because everyone on our production was doing it from home, so like the director's talk back stopped working like literally just before we had to do the teams and all the important stuff.
Brilliant.
The match directing was done by like the different, like it was like a BBC director, and he like missed the first goal and stuff. It was a mess, and it was all like weird, but at the same time it's like I think we're all kind of at a point now where we're just like just want to get out and like just get back to normal, like normality, routine. I need some routine in my life. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I get you. Ben, you've been working from home for ages, haven't you? What's that? I'm guessing there's no return in sight, but what's it? Are you sick of it, or do you quite like working from home?
I mean, I think I was sick of it the first 2 weeks, and then I've been probably doing it for more than just over four months or something like that of working from home in my bedroom for like 24/7. It's not fun, if I'm being perfectly honest. I'm gagging, and yes, I am going to use gagging to go back into the office. I'm desperate for it. I'll literally get on my knees and suck off NBC.
Oh,
to get
okay.
Back in there. Why did you have to go that way?
Come on, then.
But it's true. It's true. So if anyone from NBC knows how that can get happen, you can give me a phone call.
I love you just outing your employer right there. Let everyone know. Next, he's going to tell us his mother's maiden name.
His address.
Simon and Aaron, what about you? Any? I know you've had differing sort of lockdown work experiences. So what's it? What's your take going forward?
Honestly, for me, it hasn't changed too much. It's just the same old routine because I do the night shifts. That's not really changed too much, and it's gotten less busier. So people have stopped buying their shit online and they're actually going out. So thank you for that. But other than that, it's kind of like boring because I kind of realized lately that you can't really do too much, even with the lockdown easing up. Like, you can't go out clubbing or whatever.
Yeah, it's not the same, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you can go back to work, you can go back to the office, whatever, but you can't do anything after that, so
I have been to the pub a couple of times, though, since they've eased it, and that's been fun. Like, just to go and have a proper pint in a pub again.
Yeah, like, I've been tempted to do that, but I feel like it's still a little bit too early to just go in there for them, because I don't know.
You'd be outside and have one, but not
doing it inside.
They are good though. In bars, you have to book. I know, or the ones I've been to, have to book, and like you can only stay for like an hour and a half, and they serve you at the table and all that. Yeah. So you're not going many places. But yeah, especially if you're like sat outside, that'd be like great.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how sensible people have been as well. Like I've spent 90% of the last 3 weeks in a pub, and it's like it's a lot quieter than I thought, and like. Yeah, like people are being quite sensible about it and not actually going out.
I have to admit, I didn't think the whole mask thing would be as
used, you know. I thought it would be a lot of people just ignoring it. But the majority of people I see are actually wearing them in shops, which is quite nice.
Yeah,
I think having the only one with a completely different experience with this entire thing.
What way would you mean?
Well, I've been out a fair bit, I think, is to say, the moment pubs started opening, whether it's, you know, wherever in London it might be, I've done like bottomless brunches, people just accept walk-ins. I haven't actually booked to go into a pub once, or any bar, or even a restaurant, and they just accept walk-ins, and no one's really wearing masks. The only thing I've gotten is the occasional temperature check, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe it differs. Yeah, obviously, you're in like quite a busy area, aren't you? So, like, I guess it differs that sense. I mean, before, because obviously, I remember you saying on the podcast, like, people like Clapham Common and all that was just like completely packed out all the time when it was hot. So, it's the difference kind of, the experience kind of differed a bit. But it is interesting how it's all kind of slowly coming back to reality. And it'll be nice once we can all meet up again and like, get smashed up. That'd be good.
I'm just waiting for the traveling to be able to become a thing again. That's what I'm really fucking eager for right now. Yeah. I just want to get the fuck out. So
I get you. Right. Well, that was interesting, and I'm sure we will continue our escapades out of lockdown in the coming weeks on the podcast. But it's time we get down to the real business and decide which of our favorite comedy films will reign supreme in the World Cup of comedy films. First up in round one, we have got Airplane versus The Disaster Artist. I'm going to start with Dan here, who bought Airplane. Tell us a bit about it.
This is so funny, this shit.
Surely that couldn't have been your pick.
What are you... What? Me?
And don't call me Shirley. God!
Explain yourself, Dan.
Ben's been a twat.
I don't know what's just happened.
I just did a bit from the film, and he didn't bite. He didn't get it.
I've not seen the film. It didn't connect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. Yeah. Anyway. Airplane's like a proper like slapstick comedy from like the 70s, maybe 80s. Yeah. Sort of like it's an older film, but it's like it's just so funny, and it's one of those films that like just uses like puns and like. Play on words and stuff like that, and it's like it's a proper old school comedy, and yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just proper, the plot's a bit stupid. Like,
is there like an inflatable co-pilot in one point, or is this a different film?
Yeah, at one point there is. Yeah, because like the
okay,
it's basically like this guy gets on a plane. And he's basically like a failed pilot. And he's like a passenger on a plane, and then both the pilots like get ill and just like collapse or whatever, and then they're just like, does anyone know how to fly? And then he has to land the plane. It's so fun. It's just like my type of humor. It's just so funny, and I love it.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think any of us have seen it apart from you. The only thing I know of it is what Ben said is that, are you serious and don't call me Shirley? Because it's the only reason I know it is because it's in The Office. Like, yeah, Michael exactly, Scott said yeah, it all the time. Yeah, yeah. But I do recognise it is kind of a classic. I do fear, though, that it might struggle with the lack of, you know,
so none of you have seen it?
Within the podcast. No.
I've seen it.
Yeah. How have you
done? I think I must have done it because I know the co-pilot thing.
I've seen the scene where he's like sweating, and basically he's just like dribbling water, and it's
like pour on with it. Yeah.
I've only seen that just from the meme, though. I think
I've seen Naked Gun, what spawned off of that. But
Naked Gun's hilarious as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
Is it sort of like Naked Gun then?
Well, it's got the same guy.
Yeah, it's exactly that comedy.
Oh, like, that's okay. That's like
something Leslie Nielsen or something like that. He plays. Yeah, he's actually in Aeroplane as this character.
He's not the main character. Yeah. But yeah,
also, haven't seen that. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm coming at this from a. I haven't seen either of those films. They sound good. I take your word for it. On the other hand, we've got The Disaster Artist, which was Aaron's pick. Why don't you tell us a bit about that, and why did you pick it?
Yeah, funny. This is funny how these two matched up, because I watched Disaster Artist on an airplane. So, weird little matchup here. But I kind of came at this at an angle where I didn't know too much about it, because I knew about Tommy. I can't pronounce his last name. I'll say Tommy. I knew about him, because he made...
Was
I think I say Wazeo or something like that.
Yeah.
I kind of knew about the film itself, The Room, because it's like always been named as a bad film, but it's so bad that it breaks the funny point.
Oh, is this like the best bad film ever made?
No, yeah, exactly. Hi, Mark. That, yeah,
yeah, that in film. This in way, yeah. And
oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, like yeah. That film, like, it's just so weird in a way. What you're watching James Franco play as Tommy, well, it's his brother, as I think it was Greg.
Yeah,
and like that film just got me laughing out loud. Well, I tried to hide it because you're on an airplane, you don't want to laugh out loud, look like a fucking tit. But you know, I was just like sniggering to myself in the little plane, laughing at everything, and I just thought like that film, it had like very good vibes. It was the kind of comedy I can enjoy. So I'm not big on comedy films, but that one kind of hit the spot for me. How it was just had those moments where you just laugh at how stupid everything went. Like the whole film, how it started off, how it was set up, the whole filming of The Room. And also the end was kind of like a feels good ending as well. So I think that film's it was a good comedy. It's not like a typical like laughter after laughter after laughter if you can tracks in, but I was just like, at its moments where you just fucking laugh at the moments that happen in there. So
yeah, I recently watched it, and it's been one of those films, you know, sometimes you're like, when you see a film advertised, you're like, oh, I'm definitely gonna see that, and then you just forget to. And then recently it was on, I think it's on Netflix or something now, and I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm actually gonna watch it now. And I watched it because I'd never seen The Room, but I was always really fascinated by it because it was like cult classic, isn't it? Like it's such a loved film for being so awful. So I was really curious to watch The Disaster Artist, and I did enjoy it. I didn't like you said, Aaron, I don't think I was really like laughing out loud at it, but it was very funny. And I think if you like that kind of group of, you know, James Franco, Seth Rogen, that's that sort of comedy, it's a bit different from their usual sort of films, which I quite enjoyed because it wasn't like a stoner film like a lot of their other ones was, but it was a good film. It's weird one, Biff, because obviously Airplane is a completely different type of humor and it's also way older, whereas Disaster Artist is quite new. So I think we should just get into the vote and decide once and for all which one should go through. We'll start off with Aaron. Who are you going to go for?
Disaster Artist.
1-0 to Disaster Artist. Dan.
I'm going to double vote Airplane, I guess.
2-1 to Airplane. I'm going to go for the Disaster Artist, making it 2-2. Ben.
Just because it is purely just a cult classic, I'll go for Airplane.
Airplane makes it 3-2. And Simon, finally, who are you going for?
Airplane.
Airplane it is. 4-2 to Airplane. And we move on to our next fixture. We have got Team America versus Step Brothers. We'll start with Simon here because he brought Team America to the table. Before I go over to you, Simon, when I was like looking up which ones to pick for this, this was one that popped up, but it was only after you'd said it. I was like, yeah, that is a great shout because that film is so stupid, but it's
exactly my first point. It's just so stupid. Everything down to how like the characters walk. It's just like they don't walk. They're just like sort of dangled about and they move. It's racist. It's sexist. It's just things that shouldn't be laughed at, but you know, it is. And it's just so funny.
Like there's a lot of memorable scenes and moments in there. I can think of two off the top of my head. The sex scene.
Well, that's scarring. That's actually scarring.
And the scene where he's like throwing up. For like forever. It's so dumb,
also, like,
but it's
the
so
AIDS
good.
Song and
just the pure Matt Damon of it all.
Yeah,
the Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And Kim Il Sung that bit as well. It's a great film, isn't it? Dan, have you seen it?
Show wrong.
I've seen Team America. Yeah, it is good. I actually don't know if I've seen Step Brothers all the way through. Like, I think
Step Brothers have never seen Step Brothers.
It's one of those films. It's on all the time. People know
Ben,
about it, but like
Ben,
just
you brought it to
really
the table.
Me.
Why don't you tell us a bit about it?
I'm actually a little concerned that this was what was going to happen, because typically people that love this film love Will Ferrell. If you don't like Will Ferrell at all, you wouldn't have watched this film, or not even halfway.
I prefer Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that'd be why.
Because this is like a no-brainer comedy. I feel like just it's like a classic.
You don't have, you need to have no brain to find it funny.
sure, maybe. no, but like it was one of those that she like the era of, like, you know, being between like 12 and 14 or whatever, like Superbad, Knocked Up, Step Brothers, those films were always circling around somewhere, whether it was at school or at home or you're around a friend's. And Step Brothers is just hilarious.
I think, like, this is on the equally as sort of stupid. Like, it's no,
is it,
no
is
situation
it like,
where it would ever be like that.
This one isn't in the tournament. But I was always told by everyone that The Other Guys is fucking so funny. And I watched it and I was like, this is the most unfunny shit I've ever seen. Is it like that or is it actually funny?
Absolutely not. Because I absolutely hate The Other Guys. And this film actually made me chuckle a few times. It
is equally as stupid
as The Other Guys, but it's kind of funny.
I find with Step Brothers, there's a few moments where I just thought it was cringe. I get why. I think it was like when they first have their own bedrooms and they get bunk beds or some shit and they're just hyping themselves up. That bit just makes me sink into the chair whenever I see like a gif of that. It's just, what? I don't know.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
Yeah, that, I just sink into my chair of cringe when I see that clip.
Yeah, you just call it a gif.
Everything you're like
well,
describing
there.
Well,
yeah, because I usually see like a gif of it. Like, okay, don't
you say
threaten me on the word. Oh my God.
Oh, the age old conversation.
Everything you like described there is like, it sounds so peak Will Ferrell. And I respect that he is like, you know, one of the biggest comedy actors in Hollywood. But I personally struggle to find him. I can't really think of many roles I've seen him in where I'm like, I actually really funny. Maybe Blades of Glory, but I don't think I could name any others. Is anyone going to kind of defend Will Ferrell there?
Semi-pro.
Actual good films.
Wedding Crashers.
It's just funny that he's actually funny in.
Wedding Crashers.
He was
not funny because of him.
Yeah, but he's funny in it.
Oh, yeah, he's the... Yeah, he goes to funerals, doesn't he?
No, he crashes funerals.
Yeah.
He's all right, but like, yeah. I also like
Anchorman.
Very, very, very drunkenly started.
Anchorman, of course.
Anchorman's decent. I very drunkenly started that Eurovision film.
That's class, that film. That is, if you like Eurovision, like you'll love that film.
Who likes Eurovision?
Simon. I'm pretty sure Simon does.
It's not that I like it, it's just like a tradition.
You can like it for its
that's
like
a roundabout way to say you like it.
Yeah, but Christmas is a tradition, and I like Christmas.
I fucking hate Christmas, so.
Fair enough. Well, Team America versus Step Brothers. Who are we going for? I'm going to kick it off with Team America. Ben?
Yeah, just for solidarity. I'm going Step Brothers.
1-1. Simon?
Team America.
2-1 to Team America. Dan?
Team America.
3-1 to Team America. And finally, Aaron?
Team America.
Team America gets his vote and it goes through 4-1 and Step Brothers are no longer in the tournament. We move on to our third of four in this round. We have got Little Miss Sunshine versus Austin Powers.
Hang on.
What?
Who, Little Miss Sunshine is not a comedy, it's a drama.
It is a dark comedy, isn't it?
What?
Is this the girl that goes to the beauty pageant?
Yeah. It's the one with like Steve Carell trying to like end himself at the beginning or whatever or something like that.
It's a comedy
this is
film.
Funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy or black comedy. Yeah.
It's not even a dark comedy, it's a comedy. Like the film starts with him joining the family because he tried to commit suicide, but then it's about the family and the comedy of her getting her to the
beauty pageant.
And then at the end, that most probably one of my favorite, like the funniest film scenes I think I've ever seen. So I bought, if you couldn't already tell from my impassioned speech, Little Miss Sunshine was my pick. Little Miss Sunshine is in my top five favorite films ever.
Mm.
I could watch it anytime, and I've never not found it as funny as the first time I watched it. It's brilliant. The cast is like so perfect in it, and the story it's such a good one. And I think it's kind of different from a lot of the picks in the tournament because it has its emotional moments and its sad moments. You think like when he finds out he can't be a pilot and stuff, but like the way that all of the characters interact is so brilliant, and the shit that happens in that film is just. It's just brilliant. I love the film. Dan, you did try to pick this.
I did.
Are you in my boat here?
Yeah, it's just a really lovely film. And like, I remember I always used to watch it with my mum because she loves it. And It's a lovely film. I wouldn't say it's like absolutely hilarious, but I also don't think that's the point of the film. I think it's meant to sort of be like chuckly rather than like proper like guffaw. But that's like, I like that about the film. Like, it doesn't try and, it doesn't, like, Austin Powers spends the whole film trying to be absolutely hilarious and it's shit. Whereas like, yeah. Little Miss Sunshine just tries to like give you a chuckle and just be lovely.
Let's go on a bit too, because we can talk a bit more about Little Miss Sunshine at points. Ben, you picked Austin Powers as the
next pick. Of course he did.
I did.
I don't know. Can I just take a quick straw poll? Just say yes or no. Are you a fan of the Austin Powers films?
No.
Oh, badass, no.
Ish.
I mean, it's a yes or a no, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this was kind of a risk. I think comedies like Step Brothers or Austin Powers, they're all in the same kind of territory where they're ridiculously slapstick, stupid, but also quotable. So I need Charlie here, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm fighting a losing battle. What I will say is Mike Myers, at least in his day, was one of the funniest comedians around.
You can't doubt like that Mike Myers has got. It's just like his timing is like brilliant. Those films just don't do it for me at all. I don't know what it is. I remember I'd never really seen them, and then someone would be like, "Oh, Austin Powers," but I've never seen it. You're like, "Oh, he's never seen it." And I'm like, okay, so I tried to watch one with someone once, and it's like the most dead shit ever. Like, I think it really is like young white children that like Austin Powers, isn't
what
it?
I was going to say, what I was going to do this when I was young. I've not watched this in my adult life.
Just to be fair, I did watch it recently, and I did introduce a friend to it, and it's still just as funny. But I did, I was going to pick, just for the sake of one memory, I was going to pick Love Guru. just purely film. For the fact that
that's
like
cringe.
It is cringe, and it's
not the
one
worst
of the
film in history. Like,
no,
statistically,
yeah,
no, statistically, The Room is the worst film ever made. Let's not.
But that isn't that's funnier than The Love Guru.
No, The Love Guru is actually hilarious, and that's not really the point I'm trying to argue. I was trying to get to a nice bit where I introduced Jordan to this film and he found it fucking hilarious for one scene in particular.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, I've just remembered. Yes.
In this scene, Mike Myers' like entire head was was put onto like a child's body, and it was so fucking funny.
It's just like, so they superimposed Mike Myers' head onto a child. And I just remember this, right? Because I think, so when we were back at uni, this must have been third year, or maybe a second year, I don't know. But I remember, because Ben used to work in a restaurant, and so he'd come in like late in the evening, and I was working in like Tunbridge Wells, so it's probably about 40 minutes from Canterbury. And so I would come in late from work as well. And I just remember coming in one night, and Ben was sat watching the TV. Everyone else had gone to bed. And I was like, oh, Charles, come sit down, have a bit of food, sit down and watch this film with Ben. And I just sit down, and it's like really dead, and I'm slagging it off like I do with things like Austin Powers. And then this moment where you see Mike Myers, his head just superimposed on this child's body. And we were both wetting ourselves for a good 10 minutes. Because I don't know what it was. It just, something inside me just clicked, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I'll give Mike Myers credit for that. It was so funny. We'll have to find the clip and put it on social.
Yeah,
because
I was going to try and find it.
I was wetting myself. So good.
Yeah. As I say, I'm fighting a losing battle, but Mike Myers does deserve his dues, at least in this competition, as one of the better comedians in film, regardless of
whether I'll give him credit for that. Yeah, I'll give him credit for that. Let's get into the vote then. We've got Little Miss Sunshine and Austin Powers. We'll start with Ben. Who are you going for?
Austin Powers.
1-0 to Austin Powers. I'm going to double vote Little Miss Sunshine, and we'll go to Dan.
100% Little Miss Sunshine.
3-1 to Little Miss Sunshine. Aaron?
Little Miss Sunshine.
4-1, and finally, Simon.
I got to go with Ben, I think, with Austin Powers.
So one vote for Austin Powers means it goes out 3-2? 4-2. 4-2, I double voted. apologies. I wasn't actually expecting Simon to vote for us.
Yeah, where was the defence, Simon? What was that?
He's saving it.
It's not great by a long chalk, but Little Miss Sunshine wasn't that funny to me. Yeah, it was all right.
Okay, thank you.
Now,
okay.
We've got one more matchup in this round, and we said Charlie wasn't here today, but he is here in the spirit of Anchorman 2, which was his pick for tonight, and it's up against... Superbad. So let's start with Ben and let's start with Anchorman 2. Tell us, because I said to Charlie, pick one that you know someone here seen. I haven't seen it, but I assume you have, Ben.
I mean, I've absolutely seen this. It's such a shame we're not doing this with Charlie because he would get so angry right now. But this film is like incredible. It's probably one of the more quotable films. And who doesn't love Steve Carell, Paul Rudd? I mean, them as a duo in itself is just hilarious. It's a great cast. And it was a really good sequel. And the end fight scene with every cameo under the sun with Will Smith, Kanye, Liam Neeson. It's a film worth watching regardless. Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't seen Anchorman 2. I did see Anchorman 1, and it was one of those films I kind of went in almost unconsciously not wanting to like, and I did find it quite funny.
I think the second one's better. Anchorman 2.
I remember it got a lot of, like, it was a lot of hype about it when it actually came out, Anchorman 2. Like, it got a lot of love. Dan, have you actually seen it?
Yeah, it's, I think it's funnier than the first one. I will say that it had to grow on me. When I saw it in the cinema, I think there was only like two occasions where I actually laughed out loud, and that one of them was like right at the start of the film where he's like, just before they go on air, and he's like screaming like save the children and stuff like that. It's like, like warming up his voice, he's just like screaming. It's so funny, like that. I like proper laughed at that. I don't know if it's controversial, but I don't think I've ever seen Superbad.
Oh man!
Oh wow!
But let's get on to that. That was one of the extra picks. I actually selected it because I think Superbad is one of the best comedies that has ever been made. Purely just from everything that it's got that you can. So if you think about what the best comedy should have, and interrupt me if you think I'm wrong, it should be
wrong.
Quotable.
Yes,
it should have like memorable moments that like stand the test of time, i.e. what's his face, I forgot his name. McLovin, things like that. And then it also has just got to be just like considered a classic, where once you've watched it you're like, yeah, this was a classic comedy film that I will be able to watch over and over again.
Yeah,
and I think it nails every single part of that. I know you're a fan of it, Ben, so I'm going to hand the reins to you here.
Oh well, Superbad is just inherently funny, I think, and the more you learn about it, the more you find funny. Because obviously it's based off Seth Rogen and the writer of Superbad, I can't remember his name. It was based off those two for one summer. And you just think most of this was pretty darn real what occurred, which is even more ridiculous when you think about it. It's a great film, very, very quotable as well, as you say.
Yeah, I respect it.
And who didn't watch this at school? I feel like if there was a sub and it was like a quick film, Superbad was always the option, no?
I didn't. Yeah. I never had a sub that put it on.
Yeah, definitely never watched it. I
never had it at school myself, yeah. But I did love that film a lot growing up and watched it many, many times. And it's just got in terms of like the comedy, like, actors in it, it's just got all the ones that went on to be like the big hitters, even if they weren't already. Sorry, I interrupted you there, Aaron. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say, like, on top of Ben's point, like, how it's relatable, just because, like, you know, some point, like, our generation or our group, age group, someone tries to do the exact same, especially with, I think, yeah, McLovin, when he goes to get the alcohol with his fake ID, and you know, he's just fucking up because you know, he's like in the wrong. You know, someone's probably done that in a lifetime where they had like a fake ID, tried to get alcohol, and they fucked up. Yeah. So it just has those moments where, like, you can see this definitely happening to someone, and it just came out at a perfect time, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. I on a bit of a side note, I've recently, and I watched it again the other day actually, but that film Booksmart that came out, I don't know if anyone's seen it.
Yeah, why didn't you pick that?
The reason I didn't pick it is because what I was about to say there was that it's like the 2020 version of Superbad. Mm. But Superbad for me is like old school, absolute classic, and I feel like if I was to pick Booksmart, I would have had to also have picked Superbad, because Superbad is like the OG. But yeah, if you haven't seen Booksmart, thoroughly recommend it. Shall we get into the vibe? Oh, we've got Anchorman 2. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, is that the one that Olivia Wilde?
Yes.
Directed.
Yeah.
It's a great film. I actually laugh out loud watching it. And that doesn't happen much with me because I'm a miserable bastard. Let's get into the vote. Anchorman 2 and Superbad. Ben.
Oh, I don't... Anchorman 2.
Fuck. Coward.
1-0. Aaron.
Superbad.
1-1. Simon.
Easily Superbad.
2-1. Dan.
Anchorman 2.
2-2. And I'm going to go for Superbad, unsurprisingly. And that concludes our opening round. Superbad is through. And on that note, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Charlie here to give you a little push towards following us on social medias at World Cup of Pod for both Twitter and Instagram. We post a lot of stuff over there, from episode previews, funny memes made by me, mediocre memes made by everyone else, and polls where you can get involved on some of the matchups from the episodes. Also, if you want to get in contact with the show, we have an email, which is worldcupofpod@gmail.com, and a website too, which is linked in the show notes of the episode.
Yeah, also I'm really annoyed because I was struggling to think of one to pick, and I've realised that my favourite comedy film, I've got a Blu-ray and it's literally right next to me, and I was like looking at it the whole time. Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
That is literally my favourite comedy, and like I think it's the only comedy I have on DVD. And I was looking.
The soundtrack is incredible as well.
It's not up there, and I was like, I obviously forgot about it, and then like it's because it's right next to me. But yeah, anyway.
That is a sad, sad story, Dan, and one that all the listeners will have just heard, because this is all staying in. So everyone remember that Pop Star, whatever he just said, was Dan's favourite comedy film, but unfortunately it is not in the tournament. Forgot. Dan, why don't I give you the reins now and you can fill us all in with some lovely World Cup of answers.
Thank you very much. Let's get straight into it. Simon, think of a name.
Justin
says, can comedies ever be on the same level of like legendary status as like dramatic film, like highly rated, like well put together film? Because a lot of comedies are straight trash, like they're kind of made to be trash, and they're not made to be like as engaging or as
critically acclaimed,
that sort of stuff.
Prestige.
Exactly. So do you think comedy could ever be on that stage?
I think a good example of that, you could probably debate whether it's a comedy, but Wolf of Wall Street you could argue is a comedy, and that is obviously one of the... Would anyone disagree with me there? I feel like
I'd probably be with you on that one. I think the skill to becoming a critically acclaimed comedy is a comedy film that handles drama at the perfect moment. So Jojo Rabbit is a comedy, but it probably has some of the more emotional moments you'll ever come across. Black. KK Klansman or whatever the fuck it was.
Black Klansman.
Shit, there you go. Sorry.
I'll butcher a name in under 10 seconds.
You butchered that so hard.
But my point remains the same.
KK Klansman, isn't it?
But it is a comedy, but that deals with some really tough themes that make it something worth being critically acclaimed.
I didn't think it was a comedy. Black Klansman. When I watched it,
the thing that was so good about that film is it played on it conveyed all the serious messages, but it didn't do it in a way that bums everyone out constantly, because you're laughing at the racist, horrifying, disgusting.
Yeah,
people.
You're laughing at the idiots.
Yeah, and you
ideas.
Can kind of see like the is that the funny side of these like. Horrible people. But yeah, so let's not go on that tangent too much. But yeah, I think there's certainly cases of films. I'm trying to think of like pure out and out comedies that you could put in that category.
Well, you could
and
even
in that sense, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you could somewhat argue about like Superbad.
It really
but that's more
on...
just like a cult classic than like widely regarded as like a brilliantly made film, I think.
Yeah,
Ben, what were you going to say?
Well, it just really depends on what you consider critically acclaimed. Like, obviously, you got the Oscars, you got the BAFTAs, Gem Awards, Golden Globe Awards, but you've got so many other awards. Like, Easy A was nominated for various awards with Emma fucking Stone or whatever
Emma
her face
fucking
is.
Fucking Stone.
So they do exist, but... those kind of style comedies that are typically slapstick, they're never going to get that kind of best motion picture or anything like that. It's just not going
to
happen.
Suggest one, but it's more of a kind of more of a rom-com and it does have some serious stuff to it. I can't remember, and I'm spacing on the name, but the Kumail Nanjiani film that he wrote with his wife.
Big Little Lies.
The Big Sick.
That film is amazing and it won screenplay, I think.
Yeah.
But I suppose, I mean, that's obviously he's a comedy actor, and but it's more of a rom com. But out comedies like Superbad, and that I struggle to name one, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Next question, Aaron. Think of a name.
Timberland.
Timberland says, "Who's your favorite comedic actor?" Aaron, I'm going to stick with you then. What do you think?
Favorite comedic actor.
Actor as in like actor, so male or female.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I really have one in particular, to be true.
Oh. Okay, that was a...
No, just because I don't really watch most comedies, if you know what I mean.
That's fine, you just don't have a funny bone or funny in general.
I've got,
okay.
I've got one that came funny. To my mind.
Yeah, go on.
Jamie Foxx.
Ah,
interesting.
Just because,
interesting.
Because, like, obviously, Django Unchained, obviously that film's not a comedy, but his character is very funny in it. But I stand by it. His character in Horrible Bosses is one of the funniest characters ever.
I knew you were going to say that.
The
just
motherfucker.
Him just like, motherfucker Jones. Just him chewing on the straw and like being really serious. It's such a funny character and he does it so well. But it's kind of, I don't know, it's a bit more on the borderline of whether he's like a comedy actor.
Yeah, I mean, unless you literally only like him for that role. Simon, what do you think?
Oh, I've got one now. Mean, I'm struggling, but it's got to be Steve Carell. Just
because he
is a funny guy, but even then I don't think he's worthy of being, say, the best. I just can't think of one.
I got my one.
Yeah, go on.
Donald Glover.
Okay. He's only done comedy TV, he's done Community
and that's kind of
he's,
it
he's
really.
He's a comedian himself. He does like stand-up stuff. He has done a couple of comedy acts, but he's kind of strayed off that. But he did do what was that NBC show where they're making a TV show,
30 Rock or whatever.
Yeah, 30 Rock. He was the writer for that as well, so he's very comedy himself.
I'll let you have that. I think just because of Community that I think you can count up as a comedy actor. Ben, what about you?
I do have one, but it's definitely gonna rub people the wrong way. It's Adam Sandler.
I know you're gonna say that.
What?
No, I respect it actually. Because Adam Sandler, when you go into an Adam Sandler film, you know what you're going into. But he does nail like the Adam Sandler. There's a reason why those films are Adam Sandler films, because you just know what you're gonna get with him. And especially like back in the day, like, you know, what's the golf one called again? Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
The Water Boy. Those films are great films.
And I like Grown Ups as well. Grown Ups is a good film. Which also leads me to say for the listeners at home, we did actually do a World Cup of Adam Sandler films, but it is lost to the archives because of Charlie Hadlam. it's also the first episode I hosted, so... I think those are all good suggestions. I think Adam Sandler's a decent shout. I actually weirdly like Josh Gad, just because I've seen like a couple of his films and I actually laugh out loud. Also like Paul Rudd as well. Paul Rudd's quite good. I think Charlie would probably say Paul Rudd as well. So
because Charlie wants to be Paul Rudd. It's not because he finds him funny. He just wants to be him. That's literally it.
Well, fair enough then. Right, next question. Jordan, think of a name.
I'm going to go with Mariah.
Mariah says, and this is actually quite interesting because I've just thought of another film that I absolutely love and I should have picked, which is Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So it's basically just...
Yeah. That's great.
Bro. Yeah, the question is, do you, like, what are your thoughts on rom-coms as opposed to just straight comedies? Do you, like, I absolutely love rom-coms. They're not even a guilty pleasure for me because I just fucking own that shit. They're so good. Ben, I reckon you love a rom-com.
I mean, they're literally... If you give me a spare hour and a half and you'll catch me watching a rom-com. Like that's just the genuine truth of it. Like a while back, Charlie wanted to do the top 10 of films in our house, and I got absolutely slagged off because I put How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days in my top 10. and Crazy Stupid Love is an absolute
Crazy
classic.
Stupid Love is brilliant. Yeah, I love that film.
Rom-coms are inherently funny because just seeing people try and become a couple, go after people is awkward. And it creates funny situations just naturally. They're perfect. They're just fucking love them.
I think they're also like, as a film genre, they're probably the most relatable. Just for everyone. Jordan, what do you think?
So I'm obviously less on that side of things than Ben is, because the thing is, there's a lot of shite rom coms. I'm not like a Notting Hill guy, because those are good rom coms, obviously. But I would never sit down and watch those. But like I said about The Big Sick and stuff like that, it's like that film, like, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's such a great film. And it's definitely a romantic comedy, but those kind of films are, I could sit and watch that because it's like actually like a really, really good story. And it's not just like your typical, you know, because all rom-coms are the same. Cute meet, fall out, fall in love again. And that's not my sort of thing, much to my girlfriend's disdain. I don't watch those films. But I can appreciate a good rom-com, but they're not really for me.
I sort of agree with Jordan.
Yeah, go on.
They have to be a different formula to the, like you said, the meet cute, the bit of a drama in the middle, then they get back together at the end. There's got to be a bit more to it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Aaron, what do you think?
I'm not big on rom-coms. I'm really fucking picky on it. Like, the only two I've really seen are Scott Pilgrim and The Big Sick. So that already tells you the type of rom-coms I can put up with. But I just detest that genre massively. I just find it too painful to watch at times, especially how it's so a little bit too formulated. So
yeah,
big pass.
I will say that, like, while I agree that there are a lot of trashy rom-coms, I think I actually prefer them to be trashy. I prefer it to just be absolute dog shit of a film, but like, I just like, I just become invested in it. And
I'll
actually, like,
one that I do, yeah, that I do like, that is like more in that kind of trashy one. Is it 10 Things? Is it the Joseph Gordon-Levitt on 10 Things I Hate About You?
Is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
500
Days of Summer. Yeah.
No, not, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of the other one.
That one's got Heath Ledger in it. That's the main guy. And yeah, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it, though.
I really like that one. That's a really good one.
Interesting. Yeah, and like I said at the start, like, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is such a good film. I love that film. Mm. And it kind of... All right, so it kind of leads me on to the next question. So, Ben, think of a name.
Connor Farrell.
Connor Farrell says, is music in comedies a large part of their appeal? Because Forgetting Sarah Marshall, for me, it's like 90% about the songs. The songs are so good and they're so funny. You always find with comedies, especially like shit like American Pie, like we said in the Bands of Our Youth episode, like, you know, you remember like Blink 182 and like All American Rejects, and a lot of it was because of these comedy films. Jordan, do you think about that as well? Do you think that music's a big part?
I was actually going to make that point. You were saying is like, I always think of American Pie and those songs. It just defines a whole era of watching films, like probably from ages, 10 to like 14, maybe early, maybe a bit later. You just associate that music with that era of film, and you know, like American Pie, whether it's trash or like amazing, it's so perfect to watch, especially for our age group growing up. So I think that is a big part of the appeal because it does say a lot for it.
I'm the opposite with that. I think.
Oh, really?
But I can't think of any sort of rom-coms where I've actually noticed the music, apart from La La Land, but that is a musical.
Yeah, but you have to remember, like, you have to take it as it's like, some are just outright obvious, and so like Connor Farrell is a very good example of comedic songs that take on a new level and live on long. The film lives on longer because the music is so memorable. I'm trying to think of other comedies. There definitely are ones like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Him to the Greek are good examples of that.
Yeah. I mean,
in Forgetting Sarah Marshall as well, the music is part of it because he is writing a musical. Same with La La Land, it's a musical.
Aldous Snow.
Well, Popstar as well. Popstar is basically a musical, but that soundtrack is like, the music is genuine, phenomenal. But
that's what I mean. Like, if the music is a key part in the whole plot or, you know, the design of the film, it's just background to me. I don't recognize it.
Yeah, but like you find it like rom coms and shit. They always play like the script and stuff like that, or like the fray and stuff. It's just emotional songs. It's just jokes.
Also, just to back this up, if I were to say, if you could think of one song associated with Shrek, what would that be?
I'm 41.
There was like no enthusiasm. I was expecting a little bit more something from
Somebody.
Yeah, thank I don't you. Know who you're asking. Yes.
Yeah, that,
I was
that
actually
film's...
panicking a bit then, because when you said that, I was expecting to know the answer straight away. I was hoping someone else would say it first. I was thinking you were waiting for the same thing.
But it's a widely associated song with the film, and that film is what, now nearly 20 years old, and that's a comedy. That's, you know, lived on.
I think, but
that.
That's not like, I get it in comedies. I recognise some, but not a rom com.
Well, that's still a rom com.
The question's comedies, isn't it?
Yeah, the question was comedies, like all inclusive. Which is why I brought in American Pie at the start. If you were listening, you would have heard me say American Pie, but that's okay.
Oh, damn it, Simon.
Makes sense, Simon.
I think,
okay.
Go on, Aaron.
I think that used to be a trend, that our music was like really impactful to the comedy, but I think that's kind of died off, where now it's literally just about the comedy, and the music's just, if it's memorable, it's memorable, but most of the time it just isn't anymore. It's a lot like every film you've mentioned, it's all from like the 90s and 2000s, and it always worked out well. But if you used to name a song now in a comedy, I don't think anyone would be able to, like, be honest.
Yeah,
I think that trend's kind of died off.
Yeah, that's
I'm just trying to think of ones now, and I can't think of any.
To be fair, I'm trying to think of what, like, apart from like actual musicals like Popstar and La La Land, I can't think of any like recent comedies. I mean, Anchorman doesn't really have a song, does it? Like,
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's interesting.
By the way, I just thought of another film that could have been in this tournament, and I think it probably would have done quite well, especially if Charlie was here as well. Tropic Thunder.
That would have got my vote.
So what? Yeah. So what you're saying is that we're gonna have to do a part two.
I think that is true.
Yeah. So on that note, that's the end of this segment. Thanks for the answers and thanks for sending your questions. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us on our socials at World Cup of Pod. And our email address is worldcoverpod@gmail.com, which is also linked in the description through the website. Thanks, Jordan.
Amazing stuff. Thank you for those. Daniel, now we have got four semi-finalists to go through to decide who is the world champion of comedy films. We're going to start off with our first matchup. We have got Airplane versus Team America. Now, we kind of went a little bit surface level with these. So Airplane, obviously, we established the fact it's... you know, kind of more slapstick old film as well. And it's kind of, it's easier to see it kind of falling by the, I was actually quite surprised it got four votes in the first one because of its, you know, it just has, it's kind of got a lot of things stacked against it. Do you think it, I suppose a good question for it, Dan, is, does it stand the test of time? Has it aged well?
I think so. I mean, I'm 25 and I watched it when I was probably about 15-16, and I found it hilarious, and like obviously the sort of films of our youth are more the Superbad and the Knocked Up and all that shit. Like, I found Airplane so much more funny than them.
I was just gonna say, it's definitely aged better than Team America. Like, Team America is probably the better comedy, just in my personal estimation, but Team America couldn't be made today.
I don't know about that. because, purely because it was made by, it's Trey Stone.
Yeah, it's done
Matt
by the guys from South Park, but...
Yeah, but they still make their stuff now, and they've got a fucking show on Broadway that's the same sort of stuff. Mm. You know, they are who they are. They make the stuff they make. I think if they didn't still have a massive presence on, like, pop culture in this day and age, I'd agree with you, but... Like I said, they got a show on Broadway that's the same. I mean, it's their same humor and the same way that they do things. And I don't know if South Park still gets made, but I don't know about that. I think obviously it'd be a lot more hard to get through, maybe, than it was. But I don't know that if they made Team America 2, it would definitely do well.
Mm. I would definitely go and see it.
It would do well, but it would be very dialed back.
I don't know. It would, because it's that. What evidence of those two have got of dialing back? Because they just don't do it. They make
They make the shows they make. But the problem is that it's like nowadays people will actually blow the fuck up about that film and actually like
cancel
make
culture.
It.
Could argue
big
that would
problem.
Do better for it though, because people like anyone that watched Team America 1. I said Team America 1, like there's been a second one. But
I feel like there has
they would
been
watch that film, one. And you go into watching, is it Trey Stone and Matt Parker or Matt Stone and Trey Parker? I can't remember. You go into their things knowing what to expect. And yeah, like the Book of Mormon is like one of the biggest shows on Broadway right now.
Yeah, but see, I think that's the trick you're missing is we would, as an adult, we would be fine with that. But you know, things like Tropic Thunder, that... For the last year or so, has had a lot of rain down on it for Robert Downey Jr. doing blackface. In the context of the film, even people like Jamie Foxx, whatever, they've said that's fine, that's funny, because it makes sense in the context of the film. But if you look at the younger generation, they're just seeing that picture and they're going, "That is wrong."
I get that.
Team America and they just saw a snippet of one of them doing an impression of someone from. As a terrorist, I'm fairly certain this cancel culture generation would be like...
I do get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like it's the same sort of stuff. Like when you go into a Quentin Tarantino film, you know that it's going to be full of white people saying the N-word the whole time, but he doesn't get cancelled for that because it's just what you expect.
Yeah, I think...
When you go into things made by them, you know what you're going to get, don't you?
I think I kind of agree with Jordan more. I think, and you've got to remember that like shit like The Interview wasn't even made that long ago, and like that, like it was controversial, but... Like people
didn't
still
they North
through,
Korea
yeah.
like threaten to bomb the US or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
think... shit was happening with that film because it made such waves.
Yeah,
yeah, and it did better because it was a pretty average film as well. Let's be real.
Yeah,
it wasn't the funniest film, but it did better than it would have done just because of all of the stuff that went around it. I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole because that's not really an issue.
No.
With the film purely, I don't know. So. Yeah, it's hard to really compare because a lot of us haven't seen Airplane.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I get that.
Out and out funny. I don't know. I just think the fact because there aren't really many films like Team America that have ever been made, and it's so outrageous and it works. Because you sometimes get like outrageous films that are just like, you know, when you're watching something and you're like, okay, this is just past the point of funny. It's now just a bit ridiculous. I think of something like Movie 43 and shit like that where it's just outrageous for the sake of being outrageous and then it's no good, whereas Team America was actually very, very funny. And because it's all satire, they did the satire really well, because you get a lot of films that are like, you know, piss takes of other things and there is some funny moments in it, but there's also a lot of garbage, whereas Team America, it does do it very well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's fine. I just, like, you guys haven't seen Airplane, so it's difficult. I do think that you are completely disregarding the Thunderbirds as a style of film, which is a little bit rude, but...
well, yeah, but not in the same... I mean, Thunderbirds isn't...
But the thing, and also the thing with the Airplane is that it is, like, it, what, 30... Probably maths. Now.
Well, I think it 40, was 70s. So
it's like 40 years old.
50 years ago.
Yeah.
45.
I think it was 1980s, wasn't it? So yeah. And it's still like, you know, people use it as like quotes, gifs, and all of that, and like it stood the test of time in that aspect. And it is legendary. There's no sort of film like that really.
I respect that.
But yeah. No.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we should get into the vote. We've got Team America and we've got Airplane. We'll start with Aaron. Who are you going for?
Team America.
1-0, Dan.
Airplane.
1-1, Ben.
Team America. Yeah.
2-1 to Team America. Simon?
Team America.
3-1 to Team America. And I'm also going to go for Team America. So as much as the veteran stood up to the test, it couldn't do enough to get into the final. And we move on to our final semi-final. We got Little Miss Sunshine versus Superbad. Now, these, I will kick off on this one because these two are like probably, well, these probably are my two favourite comedies ever made. I want to address the Little Miss Sunshine thing. And Ben, when you said about it being a drama, did you just say that not realising you were wrong, or do you genuinely think that?
No, I genuinely think that. Like it may have funny moments, but I consider it a drama.
I'm the same as Ben on this. I remember you sold it to me as a very funny film, like one of your favourites, and I thought, got a general, you know, he's got good film knowledge and, you know, all that, good taste. And I watched it and I thought, like, this is just dull.
Okay,
good. It is good. It's not dull. But, I was expecting so much more.
What I think, and I'm going to kind of just brush over the negativity because I don't need to listen to it. It's rubbish. But I think what the thing that is so good about Little Miss Sunshine is, like, to kind of miscategorize it as not a comedy is weird to me. And I just don't understand it. But what I think that film does so well, and why a lot of the best comedy films you'll have seen before have heart to them. They have genuine heart to them. And that's why they stand up, because I think a lot of people would say, in terms of comedies, like Little Miss Sunshine is one of the best ever made. And the reason it stands up, because it is quite 20 years old now, maybe more. The reason why that film stands up is because it's got a lot of heart to it. And even though, you know, it's a family comedy, but it's also, it's not like a, you know, like a Cheaper by the Dozen type comedy, which is very family friendly. It's a family orientated comedy that has the dark shit and it has the emotion to it as well.
I think the problem, it's almost a good example from the World Cup of Answers of like an actual good comedy. I think, like, Ben's obviously picked two of the trashiest comedies and all of that. Like, that is typically known as like a comedy, like absolute trash, like trying to make jokes every fucking minute, and like obviously being like satire or something like that. This one is just like understated funny, and that can still be a comedy. Like you said, Wolf of Wall Street, and people didn't disagree that that was a comedy. Wolf of Wall Street is far less of a comedy than Little Miss Sunshine. Like, it's not even close to a comedy compared to Little Miss Sunshine. So that's a weird thing to just be like, this definitely isn't a comedy. It is.
I think
it's literally,
I think you
categorized
need to watch
as a
it.
Comedy.
Yeah, those that don't think it's a comedy probably could watch it again. And I think, let's ignore the kind of the criticism I'm having of you, Ben, on your opinions on it. But do you think that the fact that the film has got that a lot of people, including Dan and myself, think that it's got heart, and that's the reason why it's kind of higher up. I certainly know that's why it's higher up in my estimations as a comedy. Do you think that's a plus point? Because, like we said, especially in the World Cup of Answers, about a lot of films, a lot of comedies, when you think of out-and-out comedies, don't really, you wouldn't consider them like a prestige film. Do you think that is a point in its favour?
I think it's definitely a good point to make. If I were to take your opinion and say it was a comedy, it handles drama so well that because it's lighthearted, the drama hits home even better. I think it's a point within its favor. But then again, so, to a degree, although it's more subtle, Superbad has that because it's about friendship. That's the whole deal with that. And yeah, I know, Dan. Don't put that fucking face.
Fucking gross, mate.
I think I don't want to
about the friends we made along the way.
I don't want to get too caught up on the Little Miss Sunshine thing, but I think the thing that makes me undoubtedly say it's a comedy is that final scene is like, the film ends on a comedy moment, and it is like kind of a bit, you know, family lovey, but it is, and it's the same. The Superbad goes is it kind of ends on that, you know, the two friends at the end. Let's talk a bit more about Superbad. Because this is quite a tricky one for me to call, because I do love Superbad as well. Superbad does, I think it was the best of, so there's a lot of like stoner comedies in that era. And yeah. I think Superbad did it the best. Aaron, do you agree with that, or do you think someone else?
I think there was a little bit better that did it. Well, okay, not for stoner comedy in general, but that era, I think Superbad was on top. But specifically Stoney era, I think those are a little bit better. I think just for comedy, I think.
Yeah. What's your opinions more broadly on Superbad?
Superbad, I think that film, I don't know, I just love that film. Just how it's all set up, the whole gist of it all, where it's like kids, well not kids, teens, wanted to do stupid shit and want to break in their all like general rule. And it's just relatable. That's what I said in the past, but it's just a relatable comedy film where you can just laugh at it. And you know you either do that in the future or it has happened to you. It's just, I don't know, I think that film in general is just good. And it came out at the right time. Because it's something you can watch again.
Yeah. Something else about that film is, like, it goes along with a relatable thing, is that, like, Michael Cera and a fat Jonah Hill, like, they're not... they're so, like, the most undesirable characters in the nicest way possible. And that's what gives it so much heart to it. It's because, like, it's kind of like, you know, the loser and his fat mate, and you're just like, you know, that could be so, that in another world that could be Simon and Charlie.
Maybe.
I have to say, fat Johnny Hill and Marcus Cera, they just, how they look in that film just fits perfect, because they do look like a bunch of fucking losers. Like, well, they're not like your big chuds that you usually get, like Zac Efron and all that kind of shit.
I think the thing that's even funnier about that dynamic is, so Michael Cera at shooting that film, he's 19, along with the guy that played McLovin. Jonah Hill is 27.
Yeah.
Really? I did not know that.
Because he was in 40-Year-Old Virgin. He was like some small part, and he was like, I can definitely be Seth Rogen. Let me be Seth Rogen. And he had to audition 7 times to be able to get this role. And he basically put his own hair in a perm to prove his point. That's the look that you get in the film. Superbad is one of those films that it was birthed from, because it feels like a Judd Apatow film, you know, Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin. But it was a breakaway with Seth Rogen writing this. And it was a birth of a really good comedy era. Because how many films do you guys think you've watched of a Seth Rogen film?
Oh, yeah. I think I've probably seen all his films.
But is that not like more of a negative? And again, this links back to the last episode we did of Bands of Our Youth, in that, like, I like Linkin Park because they were so unique and did it so well. I prefer Little Miss Sunshine because there weren't really any comedies that copied it, or they didn't try and do that because it was so good at it. Superbad is, like, I could quite easily get that mixed up with, like, Knocked Up or 40-Year-Old. Like, if I was just watching it, I wouldn't know which one it is, just because there are so many like that. And it may have been the best in it, and that's fair enough, but for me, it's just like
I have to disagree with you on the kind of putting in the same bracket as like Knocked Up and that sort of stuff, because it was one, certainly it was before those, I think, at least
it was after.
Okay, fair enough. I'm wrong there then, but I think that, I don't know, it does feel to me like Superbad was always the best and all the other ones were a bit below it. I always felt like Superbad was the best one of that.
Which is the one that's like I feel like it's Paul Rudd and they're doing like community service with...
That's Role Models.
Role Model, yeah. See, I like, they're all kind of the same to me. Like, I know there's all different actors and all that shit, but like...
I mean...
That's just how I feel. Like, something like Team America, like Jordan said, is so different. Like, Superbad is the same of a bunch, really, for me.
Fair enough. I mean, Simon, sorry, Doug, I want to get a point here from Simon. Obviously, we know your opinions on Little Miss Sunshine, but what are you definitely in the other camp here, and if so, why?
Definitely in the Superbad camp. Everything about it is just funny. Like Aaron said, it's got the relatable bit. It's got like the, you know, the not so much heartfelt, but, you know, based in reality like that. And just even some of the just one-liners are just, they're so stupid but so funny. Like, a drunk guy calls McLovin McMuffin, and it's just so funny. Whereas I didn't get that with Little Miss Sunshine at all. I mean, yeah, it had funny moments, but this, I was laughing 20, 30 times more than that film.
Yeah, I think the overall, and it does, it's so funny how much it links to Dan's question. I mean, top work to, who was it? Was it Timbaland that sent in that question, or was it Mariah? Yeah. I can't remember, but shout Timbaland out to them for putting in that question, because it's like, it is that sort of thing, is that, like, Superbad, when you look at it as a comedy, is kind of one of those ones where it's a laugh every minute. They're trying to produce a laugh as frequently as they can. Whereas with Little Miss Sunshine, it's a funny film with funny moments and funny interactions, but it's not a laugh a minute kind of film. And that's the kind of distinction you've got to draw in your own mind, what you want it to be.
Which you prefer,
Yeah, which you prefer. Because I think Little Miss Sunshine has for it, obviously, that it's like, I think if you love that film, you love that film, and there's nothing that's going to beat it, I think. Whereas you can see why it other things like Superbad gets more of a mass appeal, and I'm also kind of in that camp. So you can get both sides of the coin. I guess it does kind of come down to what you prefer overall in your film taste.
Yeah, I think it's for me as well. Like I'm someone that, like, if I'm with my mates, I'll laugh a lot because, like, funny shit's happening. If I'm sat at home watching a film, I genuinely never actually laugh out loud. Like Airplane may be the only one of the films that or like Naked Gun or something that I fully laugh out loud. It takes a lot for me to laugh out loud, which for me then puts it in my mind that I don't want films that are trying too hard to be funny, because I'm not going to laugh at it, and if that's all they've got to offer, then that's it. Whereas like Little Miss Sunshine, it's not trying hard to be funny, but it's a good film, it's a nice film, and that's, I think, yeah, like my preference anyway. But yeah,
all right, well, that was a good discussion, and everyone kept their cool, which is nice. We got the vote though. Little Miss Sunshine, Superbad. I'm going to start off with Little Miss Sunshine. Simon?
Double vote, Superbad.
2-1 to Superbad. Ben?
Double vote, Superbad.
4-1 to Superbad. Dan?
Little Miss Sunshine.
2-4. And finally, Aaron?
You know what? I'm going to make this a wild one. I'm going to double vote Little Miss.
Oh my goodness.
Why would you do that?
I was not expecting that at
why,
all.
Why okay. would you do that? You've been...
Oh. I was not
I know I have been, but I want to see how this turns out, because they're both good films, I think. So.
And do you see, like, when sometimes when I... Sometimes I try and, like, schedule the vote so I can get the most drama out of an answer. And then on this one, I kind of admitted defeat, because there were both good arguments, both for and against both of the picks.
Aaron, you're so a fucking coward.
I think Superbad has definitely capped this one off. But then Aaron comes out of absolutely nowhere and smashes it down home. We have got Little Miss Sunshine, we've got Superbad, and we've got a deciding vote to decide which one goes into the final to face Team America. Dan, who is it?
It's Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh my Jesus goodness Christ. Gracious. Oh my God. You cannot write this. You cannot Buffer. Write this. This is pure and simple drama. I need to lie down. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, this is Dan. I'm here to ask you, if you like what we are doing over here at the World Cup of Podcasts, then please could you take 30 seconds to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps the podcast out a lot. If you do leave a review, we'll shout you out on the podcast as a thanks for continuing to show the support. We have new episodes out every week, and I hope you continue to listen and enjoy.
And we are back. I can tell you from my sources that there is at least one very, very angry person on this call about where we are with this tournament. So we've got Team America and we've got Little Miss Sunshine in the final. A very surprising last second addition to the final with Little Miss Sunshine beating Superbad in a deciding vote. Just a quick recap of how we got here. So we had Team America beating Step Brothers 4-1 and then beating Airplane 4-1 and the Little Miss Sunshine 4-2 against Austin Powers, and obviously, as we just saw, the last second snatch and grab taking the win away from Superbad. So what we were saying off air then, Ben was quite, he said, if I have to tell people that we did this and this was the final, he would feel badly about it. And
no, I didn't say I was going to feel bad. I said I'd boycott the final. This is
I think Jordan was trying to say basically.
My comeback to yeah, I was trying to make you sound a bit better. My comeback to that was that, like, I think obviously Simon and Ben are entitled to their opinion on it, and that's fine. But I feel like they are. There's definitely some on some level an underestimating of how, in terms of someone to people to name their top five comedies, if they actually to spend bit of time to think about what their favorite comedies are and they've seen Little Miss Sunshine, I feel like it would be in most people's, because it's got so much heart and it's so funny as well, and it's got one of the, like, most memorable scenes in it at the end. I just think it's great. I know you guys don't necessarily feel that way, and so I'm not going to try and sway your opinion, but when we look at the final, we got Team America and we got Little Miss Sunshine. Is Team America a strong winner for you, Simon? I guess, or are you kind of, do you struggle a bit more between these two?
No, this is even easier for me, I think. I Team America has been my go-to from the very beginning. This was my pick. I thought about this one a lot because I kind of like some of them. But this one is just, it's just everything. It's my sort of humor. I like dark humor. I mean, yeah, offensive stuff is, you know, looked down on, but in comedy, it's all satirical. It's all joking. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, racism is bad, but...
No, but I do agree. Like, I think satire is so underrated, and like as we kind of discussed earlier, like cancel culture and stuff is like you can't do that stuff. Whereas there is such a place for it, and you look at some of the best like satirical films that have come out, they are usually quite good. And Team America definitely did it like the best.
Yeah, but it's like it's not censored at all. It's just so over the top and just offensive and rude. But that's what is so good about it.
I do wonder
with it. They haven't censored it.
I do wonder with it. When was the last time you watched Team America? And this is open to everyone as well, because it's been a long time for me. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I'm here about 10 years at least. Maybe even
maybe a year ago.
Good few years, I think.
Okay,
maybe a year ago, fucking hell.
Because I think... I think
15 for me.
Purely off of just speculation, really. I wonder if I'd find it as funny now as I did when I was 14. What do you think, Ben, having seen it more recently?
Sorry, I'm so enraged that I've been texting Charlie that he should have been here. What did you say?
Basically, what was my question? Oh, yeah, so I think 14-year-old me found Team America a lot funnier than I feel like 24-year-old me would find now. Having seen it last year or within a year, whenever you said... Was it as funny, or was it more funny or less funny?
It's funnier for a different reason. It's not funnier because it's new comedy or it's outlandish. It's because it's a sense of nostalgia. You start remembering bits of the film that you completely forgot. That's a comedy in itself, where the music's actually really quite memorable. You know, like the opening Team America song. Fuck yeah, gonna save the world from the motherfucking day, yeah, America. That shit is hilarious. So,
but even that in itself is sort of poking fun at Americans and stuff. It's not all...
Well, isn't it it's a parody of A-Team, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the
it's
whole premise
so
of it.
It's just so over
it?
The
yeah.
top. So good.
Yeah, there's certainly a place for it. Aaron, I want to come to you here, kind of get... Obviously, you're the one that threw the absolute chaos into the ring at the start of this one. do you know, without giving yourself away too much, do you know which way you're leaning, and is this an easy round for you?
I'll say this is a little bit easier around. Like, I'm gonna make it very vague just to keep it good. But one of the films, it took me a while to get into it, and eventually I came to appreciate it. Another one, I fucking hated it at first, but then eventually I kind of eased up and enjoyed it. But I can't watch it now, so. That's my views. I don't know if you can get just which way it is. But...
I feel like I know which way you're going with that there. This is, I don't know, I want to hear from Dan, because I'm a bit baffled as to what to do here.
I feel like we'd be cancelled if Team America won. I like you said, I think I agree with you completely in that I probably didn't find Team America that funny, it's just now sort of looking back on it, it was like, oh yeah, that was such a funny film from my youth. I probably didn't even find it that funny. It was probably just like controversial, so I was like, oh, that's jokes. But like, apart from the throwing up scene and the sex scene, I do remember laughing a lot of those. I just don't know if I'd find it funny now. I don't think I would find it funny now. Like Little Miss Sunshine, I could still watch. Yeah. I don't know if I'd find Little Miss Sunshine overly funny. I don't know if I ever did find it overly funny. But like I said, it's just like, it's the better film in terms of everything. I just think Team America is like...
Yeah, but that's not the discussion we're having. We're not discussing the best film the best
it's
comedy.
The better
no, but as I said before, like I prefer comedy. Like I don't laugh like when I'm watching films. Like it takes a very special like comedy to make me laugh.
If you're going, I suppose the question comes down individually, and this is not for me to tell you you're right or you're wrong, but it comes down to you in your comedy films. Do you want something that will you'll just be like laughing as much as you possibly can? Or do you want a film that's good film that is also funny? Because I think you could, on a very surface level, someone say, well, why would I want to laugh all the time? But then at the same time, you can laugh at something and then maybe it's not as rewatchable, or like you may as well just watch a stand-up comedy or something like that. That there's kind of the thing that I've always found, and you know I'm on the fence on the side of Little Miss Sunshine here, is that I've watched that film so many times, and I will agree with you, yes, it's probably not as laugh out loud funny as like Team America is or some of the other films in this tournament for sure, but as a film and it's a comedy film, it's my favorite, and I think it's the best. So that's the thing you got way up, isn't it, Ben, really? Importance do you put on it more, I think? Is a real question.
I think people have sort of made their decisions already. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's variety of opinion, really. I think, the people that typically watch Team America, or at least myself, especially with Adam Sadler and Will Ferrell, because there is, these films are continuously being made for a reason. There is a market for them. It's people that are easily pleased. They're easy watching films.
Marvel fans.
Yeah, thank you. I don't disagree that Little Miss Sunshine is undoubtedly a good film, even though I think I may have only watched it once. But I would class it as a film that I wouldn't watch because I wanted to watch a comedy. I'd want to watch it because there's something dramatic. It's got a bit about it, rather than something I want to outright laugh at.
So that's interesting, because I think of like Little Miss Sunshine as a film I'd look, because it's like a feel-good film. As well as, I know there's a lot of dark stuff in it, but ultimately it's a, you feel good
because it's a nice film
and it's got the funny to it. I think it's kind of one or the other, isn't
it? It's difficult as well, because it's just like, it literally comes down to like, Ben is the type of person that prefers like fart jokes to like deep comedy.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about that. It's just what you find funny. You do like if me and you sat down separately to watch a film, like, I don't know, like an Austin Powers film or something, you'd probably have like over 400 laughs, whereas I'd probably like chuckle once, and that's just because I was looking at my phone.
All right, yeah, I'd be very curious to know which way Charlie leans on this, so maybe we'll get him to give an answer to that, maybe on the Instagram or something. But let's get into the vote. We have got Little Miss Sunshine and Team America. I know the order I'm going to go in this on the vote, and Aaron will be the last one, because even though I think he knows where he's going, I don't 100% know, so that'll be the most dramatic. We're going to go with Ben first. What are you voting for?
Superbad.
You can't. It's not in the final.
Jesus Christ, why is this guy on my side?
I'm so desperate for this film to be in the final, I'm just ignoring it. Sorry,
Team America or Little Miss Sunshine?
It's Team America.
Okay, I'm going for Little Miss Sunshine. Simon.
Team America.
2-1. Dan.
Little Miss Sunshine.
And that makes it 2-2. And we go to Aaron, who threw chaos into the ring, who threw the tournament into absolute disarray, and threw Ben into a hissy fit, and gave me and Dan a lifeline that we really, honestly, truthfully, had already given up on. Aaron, you've got the final vote to tell us who is officially the funniest comedy and the world champion of comedy films. Who is it?
Yeah, Ben, you're going to be pissed, but it's a little
mess. Yes! A round of applause for Little Miss Sunshine, everybody.
Clap.
I think on some occasions I could be accused of like biasing a tournament, but in this one, Aaron did all of that. I just said my points, you guys said your points, and Aaron just came in with the haymaker. I suppose we should get a final thought from Ben.
Like, I'm speechless.
I'm not going to lie, Team America should not have made it this far. That's what I'm saying.
Little Miss Sunshine. Oh,
yeah, but at least that's like a good film, and it's got a nice bit of comedy dished around. It's not like
Aaron, you don't even like comedy. Shut up.
I do if it's done good.
Normally it's me, so this is a nice change.
Simon, how are you feeling over there?
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, not as mad as Ben, but I still don't think it's the right winner.
Fair enough. Well, if you, the lovely audience and listeners, want to let us know what you think, obviously you're going to agree with me, Dan and Aaron in the long term because we are correct. But let us know over on our socials at World Cup of Pod on Twitter and Instagram, because that concludes all we have for this week's episode. And we'll be back again next week with a brand new episode. As I said, if you feel like you need more of us in your life in the meantime, then go over to our Twitter and Instagram at World Cup of Pod. And don't forget to subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts. And go ahead also and leave a little review on Apple Podcasts to tell us how wonderful you think we are, because we're not bad, you know. I know, Ben tries to boycott. Charlie's always late. Simon has Daily Mail opinions. Me and Dan are pretty much spot on all the time. But, you know, it's...
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's neither here nor there.
There's that bias.
But let us know in a little review and maybe 5 stars if you agree that me and Dan are spot on. And if you don't agree with that, leave a 5-star review anyway and maybe leave a comment saying we don't necessarily agree, but we still want to give 5 stars. Anyway, you can also get in contact with the show and get your emails read out on the World Cup of Answers if you go to our email address, worldcupofpod@gmail.com, and you can get them sent over there and we'll read them out. We've also got a website which is linked in the podcast description. So yeah, get involved over there. We look forward to hearing from you and we'll see you on the next one. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.